Now, meet the press. The guest is Per Jacobsen, chairman of the board and managing director of the International Monetary Fund. Here is our moderator, Ned Brooks.
Our guest today is one of the world's foremost economists, Mr. Per Jacobsen, chairman of the board and managing director of the International Monetary Fund. Mr. Jacobsen is a leading authority on money. He has acted as an advisor to many governments, and he has written extensively about monetary problems. A native of Sweden, he served on the economic staff of the League of Nations and with the Bank for International Settlement in Switzerland. The fund he now heads was set up by the United Nations to work for a freer, expanded world trade, seeking in this way to raise standards of living and facilitate economic development. Now ready to start the questions, Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Well, Mr. Jacobsen, as you know, there's a great deal of concern in this country that we're heading for a recession. Do you think we're heading for a recession or a depression?
I don't think we are heading here in this country for a recession. My belief is that the improvement that has taken place this year, and it's quite remarkable, will continue. I do not even think that the decline on the stock exchange will greatly influence the trend of business in this country over the next few months or even into the beginning of next year.
Are you saying then that you don't think the stock market is a reliable indicator of future business?
I think that there are times when the stock market clearly anticipates a business decline. But at this occasion, I believe it was quite a different situation. I know very many wise men who for a long time had expected an adjustment on the stock exchange, thinking that prices were too high, people believing that there would be a continuation of inflation, and not having understood that we were in a new era with more stable prices and what has been called an end of the post-war inflation. Now, this adjustment may be just as well a sign of strength as a sign of weakness.
Well, Mr. Jacobsen, there has been growing agreement in this country that we need a tax cut in order to stimulate business. Am I to understand from what you've said that you think we're not heading for economic trouble and that we don't need a tax cut to stimulate business?
You say there is growing agreement in this country on a tax cut, but when I read these newspapers this morning, I found a number of people said that they were at the wrong time and not needed now. So I think still it is a very open question. The question of tax cut has very much to do with the two problems. One, whether one has to expect a setback in business, and I do not believe there will be a setback in the coming months. I think the improvement will continue, not at the high rate that had been expected, but still at a steady rate. Secondly, some people believe that there has to be a tax cut because they want a higher deficit in the budget, which of course is quite another question. There will be, as we know, a deficit, a fair amount already under present provisions. So that some people think that this deficit is large enough to give the impetus to business that is needed in this situation.
There has been agreement in this country on the part of labor leaders, on the part of the president, the Chamber of Commerce, and on the part of most politicians that a tax cut is needed to stimulate business. The disagreement has been on when the tax cut should come and where the tax cut should come. Now, do I understand that you are now saying that you think we are not heading into a recession, that we do not need a tax cut now, and we may not need it at all?
I believe that it would be very valuable to have a tax cut, as the president has promised in 1963, when it can be done without a major budget deficit, taking all things into consideration. But if I understand those people rightly who ask for a tax cut now, they want to have that in order to increase the deficit in the budget, in order to give a greater stimulus through a budget deficit. And they hope also, perhaps, that lower taxes will lead to more spending. In my opinion, this is probably not needed. We shall know more in the autumn, and I think when the president said that he would prefer to maintain the schedule that he had indicated earlier in the year, to have the tax cut next year, I think that his preference is also mine. I was asked a few months ago at the dinner by a lady the following question. She said to me, "I've heard, Mr. Jacobson, that you are in favor of a deficit in the budget." And she looked at me as if I had been in favor of sin. So I replied to her that under certain conditions, deficit in the budget can be valuable. It often came in recessions in the past, and it can be useful. But there is a measure and moderation in everything. And as we know that already this year, for the fiscal 1963, there will be a deficit of, let us say, $4 billion at least, and that in the next 6 months, which is the weak period of revenue for the government, there will be borrowing, taking care of the seasonal deficit, up to $9 billion. Some of us may think that these deficits are sufficient for all practical purposes to give the impetus needed without any addition being needed now, and that with this deficit it is possible to maintain the improvement in the balance of payments, while with a much larger deficit it may not be so easy to do so.
We'll continue the questions with Mr. Childs.
Mr. Jacobson, when I was in Detroit the other day, some of the automobile manufacturers said to me that they pointed out that American wages were three times as high for comparable work as German wages. Now, do you think when these tariffs are lowered and the common market is in effect, that American industry will be able to cooperate in spite of this high wage level?
The higher wages in the United States is a problem when these wages are compared with the wages in Europe. But I doubt whether the difference is as great as three times now, because wages in Europe have risen much more quickly recently than here in the United States. The increase in Germany has been for 2 years at the rate of 10% a year, and Germany revalued its currency 5%. It's an increase of 25% in 2 years, and in the same period, the increase here has not been more than 5 to 6%.
You wouldn't think governmental action was necessary to try to reduce our wage level?
No, but I think that the government policy of having given guidelines for a moderation in the increase in wages are very important, and I should think that moderation in the increase in wages here within the limits of productivity and a continuation of the boom in Europe with an increase in wages will perhaps bring us nearer to an equilibrium than I, for my part, dare to hope 1 or 2 years ago.
Now, the other side of this coin, you hear from business and industry about the profit squeeze in this country, which is claimed to have cut down plant investment. Is this a serious matter, too, in our economy?
When, as long as there is an inflationary rise in prices, profit margins are always very large, and industry get used to them. When we have a period of stability of prices, profit margins will be narrower, and that means that industry will have to pay more attention to cost. And there is also a reason then for a moderation in the taxes on industry. And that is what I think the president has in mind with his tax cut next year, at least one of the purposes.
Mr. Rogers.
I'd like to go back to the deficit just a minute. There's a little bit of confusion, I think, in the minds of the public, and perhaps a little bit of inconsistency. You say that you're in favor of a deficit, and you say you're in favor of a deficit because this will stimulate the economy, deficit spending will. By the same token, or at the same time, you say that you're not worried about the economy, that you don't think there's a recession over the horizon, as some of the indicators seem to imply. I don't see why, if that is so, that you favor a deficit at this time. I wonder if you'd explain that, please, Mr. Jackson.
You know, obviously there is quite good business at present, because the gross national product is 7.5% higher than a year ago, which is an improvement of considerable proportions, not as high as expectations, but if those expectations hadn't been published, the government could be very proud of what had happened. And I think it will continue. But there is the unemployment, and there is, I think, a need to expend purchasing power in this country, even with a certain expansion, moderate in the money supply. And at a time when there is not a great deal of direct business borrowing, a government deficit of moderate proportion may help to even achieve the monetary expansion that otherwise would be difficult to arrive at.
Do you think our deficit spending has an adverse effect on other foreign capitals? Adverse effect on the dollar?
I think a moderate deficit would be accepted in European capitals as a normal thing, because even before 1914, in a depression, government revenue was not as large, and there usually emerged a deficit, and that has been a normal element in business cycle remedies even before 1914. But of course, if it goes beyond what one regard as proportion that could be financed without inflation, then people would be nervous.
Mr. What? Newman, I'll get back to you. Mr. Newman?
Mr. Jacobson, there are economists who regard a devaluation of the American dollar as inevitable eventually. Do you agree with that? You think it is?
Certainly not. I do think that for a few years, American cost and prices were on the high side in relation to other countries, and that there was a problem that could have been serious. But we have had two developments clearly before us. One is the moderation in price and cost increases here in the United States, and a very rapid increase in money wages in almost all the countries on the continent in Europe, at the rate of 10% a year in Germany, of 8 to 9% in France. And this is very important. Secondly, there has been the quite impressive increase in exports from this country, and an export surplus around $5 billion a year, which I think will be maintained this year, which shows, at least to me, that there can be no question of any considerable overvaluation of cost and prices in this country.
I would take it then that you do not agree with those who say the price of gold should be raised.
I do not believe the price of gold will be raised. I think there are grave political reasons against it, but I do not think it would improve the conditions of this country, because I think that other countries would devalue at the same rate as the dollar, so that the relative position would not be changed to any important degree.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Jacobson, you recently said in a U.S. News interview that in order for our economy to live without inflation, there must be a restraint upon wage increases. Looking at our economy today, as I know you have, do you think there has been that restraint?
I think there is a restraint in comparison with what happens in other countries. After all, it is one of the rules of life that you cannot avoid all mistakes, but you must make less mistakes than others. And I think that the United States now is making less mistakes than others. Last year, the official figure for wage increases was 2.7%. I believe that this year it will probably be something similar. And these are moderate increases compared with those in other countries. Perhaps it would be better for this country and for business expansion internally if the wage increases were even more moderate. I believe that the action of the administration and the understanding of labor leaders is that wage increases must be moderate and attention has to be paid to costs.
You seem to be a lot more optimistic about our economic position than a great many of our politicians are. You think the wage increases are okay? You feel that we haven't had too much of a deficit? Will you tell me why we haven't had a more rapid economic growth then?
You know, I regard an increase in the gross national product from one year to another at the rate of 7.5%. Has quite an impressive increase. I think if it hadn't been for the published aims of higher figures, people would be rather proud of what has happened. And I think there is a chance that this will continue. And I've seen the improvement in the balance of payments. I think, on the whole, present policies are those that are called for in the present situation. And I would give them the run of the business for the time being and therefore make no sudden changes now. In fact, I believe that a steady improvement, not artificially produced, will be more helpful even to unemployment, because after all, we don't want to see a sudden improvement in employment with a setback after. But the steady increase may be really what is most suited to this economy at the present moment.
Mr. Childs.
Mr. Jacobson, some critics have been saying that because of the vulnerability of the dollar to worldwide demands, present arrangements to stabilize currency are not adequate. They have been advocating a kind of international Federal Reserve system. Do you think something like that is called for now?
You know, in my work, I have to always consider what is possible at any given time. And last year, the fund proposed, with the help of interested governments, a borrowing arrangement leading to an increase in the fund resources of $6 billion. And that is being voted now, and we hope to have it all voted in a few months' time. 6 countries out of the 10 have already accepted it fully, with votes of Parliament and all the proper legal decisions taken. And we have gone a long way in providing sufficient resources to meet any speculative attack on any currency.
You, I know, recently came to the rescue of the Canadian dollar, a kind of an emergency situation. Could you do the same thing if the American dollar were suddenly under severe attack?
We could already provide a very fair amount for the United States dollar. And in a few months' time, when we get this borrowing arrangement ratified, there is no opposition in any country to it, we can do it even more easily. But we provided $1 billion for, with not only through the fund, but through the help of friendly governments, for the Canadian government, within 4 to 5 days. And the quota of the United States in the fund is $4,125,000,000, and I think the fund could already now, but certainly in a few months' time, when the borrowing arrangement is ratified, provide that speedily without any difficulty.
Mr. Rogers.
Do you see any analogy between the attitude of foreigners now toward the American dollar as toward the Canadian dollar, say, 6 months ago?
Certainly not. The Canadian dollar was known to be under pressure already last autumn. There was certain evening out of the situation early this year. It came under pressure again. The Canadian have a deficit on current account of the balance of payment. It was at a rate in the first quarter of this year of $350 million. If you take the United States balance of payment calculated in the same way, it was here a surplus of $850 million. So the situation between Canada and the United States is very different indeed. And the rate of the budget deficit was very different. Now the Canadian government have taken certain very useful measures to remedy their situation. But it's my opinion that the same policy is not needed here in this country, and that the attitude of foreigners is certainly not the same towards the U.S. dollar and the Canadian dollar.
Gentlemen, we have about 2.5 minutes. Mr. Newman.
Mr. Jacobson, you said a few minutes ago that the United States was making fewer mistakes than some others. Who are the others who are making more mistakes than we are?
Now, that is a very invidious question, but you will have seen that in Germany, Dr. Erhard has said that though he regrets to intervene in a private and free economy, he thinks that Germany, too, has to have a price and wage policy. So obviously the difficulties appear elsewhere as those we know in this country.
Isn't what is happening in those countries, though, simply that the large groups of workers are beginning to demand a larger share of the national product that perhaps they were denied before?
That is part of the story. But it's also that, and I want to say this, the boom in Europe is continuing. The new orders in Germany in May was 12% home orders and 5% foreign orders. It boom in Europe is continuing.
Mr. Rogers.
May I ask you a direct question? Are you in favor of tax reform to relieve the pressure on business so they can increase productivity?
That is part why I'm in favor of it, very largely for that purpose, but not in order to increase the deficit in the budget.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Jacobson, there have been repeated European rumors that there's a possibility, at least, of dollar devaluation. Do I understand from what you have said that you see no danger at all of our having to devalue the dollar?
I think the situation this year is immensely much better than a year ago. And I think among my friends in Europe that are probably different from a number of speculators, the confidence in dollar has increased over the last year. And that I see no great distrust in the dollar.
Mr. Childs.
I'd like to come back to Mr. Spivak's original question about the stock market. You said you thought this was a healthy development. Do you think that the market has now, the price of securities has now stabilized at a fairly reasonable level with the present market?
This is a difficult question. I think there was a danger of a tailspin. I think that we see now that the plane has sufficiently lifted over the ground that it will continue, and we have no real danger of a crash before us.
Mr. Newman.
Well, what conclusion do you draw from that fact about the function that the stock market plays? Does it play a legitimate part in the economy, or does it simply mislead us?
I think that I believe in a market economy, but I believe that markets can be wrong. But I think markets have a tendency to correct themselves, and I believe that perhaps bureaucrats have not always the same tendency to do so.
Gentlemen, at this point, we're going to have to suspend our questions, and thank you very much, Mr. Jacobson, for being with us.